I'm Audrey Tracy.
And I'm Griff, and this is Selling on eBay, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 30. Audrey, hello.
Hello, Griff.
So what's our theme for this week?
The theme for this week is refining your strategies.
So you may already have a strategy or two. We're talking business strategies, that is. But you might want to consider refining them so that they are...
more impactful, more productive.
Yeah.
More, dare I say, profitable.
Ooh, who doesn't like more profit?
Exactly. So to that end, on today's show, we're joined by eBay seller Dave DiBartolomeo, who will share his plans on refining his own business strategies.
And then we're going to talk with eBay events manager Allison Ingalls about, get ready, eBay Open for 2019.
Woohoo!
The registration for which I think opens this week.
That's right. And how exactly does information about eBay Open align with this week's theme, refining your strategies, Griff?
Well, you might very well ask that.
I know, I just did.
Well, eBay Open is the perfect place for any seller to collect all of the information they need in order to, wait for it, refine their strategies.
Aha.
Mm-hmm.
You mean it's the ideal event for any eBay seller to attend, especially if that eBay seller wants to refine their strategies. There's a whole roster of workshops and presentations on all aspects of running a business on eBay.
That's right. And you also get to FaceTime with a small army of eBay employees and customer support experts, not to mention other eBay sellers.
Yes. Great networking there. And it's in Vegas. So there's that.
Yes, indeed.
Lots
there's,
of fun.
There's always that. Along with that, we have The Buzz with Doug Smith. We're going to do What's Hot with Jen Deal this week. She's filling in for Liz Austin, who's on vacation. And some seller questions from our email box at sellingonebay@ebay.com.
Fantastic. I love it. Let's do it. Let's
Great.
Start the show.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Fantastic. Coming up first, The Buzz with Doug Smith. It's time for The Buzz, and joining us for The Buzz is Doug Smith. Welcome, Doug.
Hey, Griff. Happy to be here. And just so you know, I did my homework.
Dare I ask, what homework?
Well, you told me that I needed to work on my breathing.
Oh, yeah, you did. Take a breath before you read a long paragraph. It's real easy.
Yes, I've come up with my own technique I think you're going
to
like.
I'm afraid to ask. What is it?
Okay. I breathe in, and I breathe out. And I breathe in, and I breathe out. Would I talk at the same time to maximize my breath and talking like this?
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I do see. It's not going to work. Anyway, what do you have for this week? Deep breath.
Well, Griff, let's start with some community volume from last week, and then I have a couple of cool news items.
Oh, good. No more bad jokes, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay, first up this week, Griff,
yeah.
We saw some volume around managed payments.
Hmm.
So another e-commerce site accidentally withdrew money from their sellers' accounts, causing some concern over our managed payments.
Really? It was another e-commerce site, though?
Yes, oh, yes. Right. I could tell you what it rhymes with, but I don't want to mention it.
What's it rhyme with?
Betsy.
Oh, okay. Like Betsy Ross?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
It's so pretty similar.
All right.
Close.
So I'm intrigued. Go on.
What we saw on the community this week is that there's still some overall confusion around managed payments and a desire for more information. We sent feedback to the managed payments team that sellers want more details and transparency about payments.
You know, sellers can find out all the managed payment info they need, including frequently asked questions, if they go to ebay.com/payments. But anyway, Doug, can you review the benefits of managed payments as we know them?
Certainly, Griff. Managed payments give sellers one place to sell and get paid and manage all selling and payment needs from within their eBay account.
Mm-hmm.
Sellers get simpler invoicing of eBay fees, all fees in one place on your eBay invoice. Sellers can opt into daily payouts direct to bank accounts and new ways for buyers to pay, such as mobile payments. Anything to add, Griff?
There's some other things that may not be as obvious, but with our own payment system, we're then able to explore things like better reporting of sales,
mm-hmm.
single location reporting, for example. It would make it a lot easier than having it on two or three different websites.
Sure.
And when a case is maybe opened up, it's easier for us to review that case from mm-hmm. the beginning to the end, and there's no chance of double jeopardy. with another payment service who may the buyer may go to, which we know happens occasionally. It just happened to a friend of mine. So
exactly.
All these things will make it a lot easier for buyers and sellers.
I love the more payment options available to buyers.
Oh, that's a huge one. I think a lot of us get used to using just one, but especially the younger folks, well, you know, aka millennials, they're used to using a plethora. How do you like that for a word?
I do like that.
A plethora of payment options, most of them mobile, and it'll help with the buying on eBay. Again, a great thing for sellers.
For sure. Definitely. We've also got an item this week that drove volume on the community and in the news as well.
Great. I want to hear it. What is it?
Griff, you remember VCRs and VHS tapes, right?
I remember vinyl cylinders in the Thomas Edison days. Of course I remember.
I still have some VHS tapes in the garage. Do you?
I have actual VHS tapes in the house because I occasionally put them in and watch them, like of old classic movies.
Ah, yeah. Mine are boxed up in the garage, and you know what I plan to do with them.
Well, you better do something because they deteriorate.
That's true. So I guess I better sell them on eBay quickly.
Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, they are in my eBay stack in the garage.
All right. So I know tapes sell all the time on eBay. So what's the big deal?
So a VHS player recently sold on eBay.
We sell a lot of them.
But this one was different. The seller thought it was a typical sale, perhaps as some guy like you and me who are fans of 70s films, 70s filmmakers, Morrissey concerts.
No, leave me out of that. I'm not a Morrissey fan. Sorry.
All right. I thought I'd slide that in. You know, I always get my references in if I can.
I don't know why, but there you go. Yeah.
So, seller Matt Shokri posted a VCR for sale.
A machine that plays video and VHS tapes for you millennials. So this is before YouTube and it wasn't on your phones.
Yes, like your mobile payments.
Right.
Mr. Shokri was diagnosed with cancer last year.
Oh, that's too bad.
He was unable to keep a job, so he turned to eBay and found a selling niche. After surgery and treatment, he was doing well enough to work, but stuck with eBay.
eBay changes another life story.
So two lives in this case, Griff. So Mr. Shokri, a few weeks after selling the VCR, which he thought was a typical sale, he received a letter. So I'll read some of the letter to you.
Okay, it was a letter or an email?
A letter. It was a letter.
How quaint.
Actually, he talks about this. He said that he was watching a hockey game, I believe it was, and his wife went out and got the mail, usually ads and bills, and a hand-addressed envelope stuck out.
With a stamp. A licked stamp.
With a licked stamp, I think, yes.
Could you get any more old school?
I don't know. So he opened the letter and started to read it, and it said, "Hi, M. Shokri. I found many old VHS tapes recently and wanted to see what is on them, and I realized I had no player. So I went to eBay for the first time and discovered your offer." So at this point, Mr. Shokri paused the hockey game. "I bought your VHS and you shipped it within a few days. The VHS looks new and unused. Amazing. I had some issues getting it going, which were mine and not the player. I'm 86 and perhaps not up to my game, but I do get there eventually."
Good.
"And I did, and discovered the VHS works perfectly. Thank you so much for your care, your efforts, and your promptness. I watched tapes of my retirement party from 25 years ago, which I had never seen before. Geez, were we young. Then a tape of my wedding with all the family and friends, many of which are no longer around. Then skiing trips, kids growing up, travels, and most importantly, the gentle maturing of my family. Each one more fun than the last. All thanks to your generous selling of the VHS player. I thought you would appreciate how much someone has enjoyed your offer."
Well, that's amazing. That's a great eBay story.
It is, and that's part of what I love about eBay is eBay stories like this. But in a touch of further surprise and delight, Mr. Shokri plans to reach out to the buyer and offer to digitize all of his old VHS tapes.
Now that's the way it's done.
Yes, yes. What a great story. And now, Griff, are you a basketball fan? Warriors, Lakers, Bulls?
No, sorry.
Well, how about collectible sports cards?
Not so much, but I'm a little piqued. My interest is a little piqued.
Well, we do sell a lot of cards of different types on eBay, and a recent sale was a big one.
Oh, was this the RuPaul Drag Race cards?
No, but...
Because I collect those.
That almost made the cut.
Oh, God.
But the...
I'm looking for a Miss Vanjie card if you find it.
So. I will. I might have it in with my Divine record collection. I was listening to him the other day.
Divine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walk like a man.
Oh, he did a record.
You're a man, not a boy. Yeah, a couple. Yeah. Had some good tracks, but then it kind of got a little derivative.
I mean, he couldn't really sing. He sort of just talked and screamed.
I liked it, though.
Yeah, well, he was a character. Anyway, back to trading cards.
Back to trading cards. Just
imagine me dragging us back on topic.
Divine trading card. So, a recent listing broke the record for the most expensive basketball sports card in eBay history.
Well.
A rare Michael Jordan 97-98 precious metal gem PMG green card. For those of you that know that that is.
I have no idea. I know what a green card is, but I don't think it's the same thing.
Different. I think we're thinking different things.
Yeah. They're precious as gold.
Yes.
But what did this sell for?
This sold for $350,100. That's a lot for a card.
I had no idea.
Setting the record for the highest price ever paid for a modern-day basketball card, and this is one of only 10 cards believed to be in existence.
$350,100? You can buy a house in Kansas for that.
And Michael Jordan probably does not get a cut.
Why would he?
Only 10 in existence.
That's a lot of money, and I bet it's a lot of card.
It'll look lovely in that plastic holder.
No. That wasn't what I want. So I could have sold it.
Oh, exactly. $250,200.
I wonder if RuPaul drag race cards will ever be that expensive, if there are any.
If you hold them. So drag racing, like with the cars, the funny cars on the tracks, right?
You know, you are so pretty. You don't know about RuPaul's Drag Race?
I know about RuPaul's Drag Race. Okay, all right.
So you were winding me up for a change.
Yes. All right.
Well, you got anything else, Doug? Liss?
No, Mr. Griffith. That's all the news that fits this week.
Okay.
It was fun. Thank you for having me again.
You're welcome.
Coming up next, we'll hear how one seller is refining his strategies in 2019 to take his business to the next level.
And welcome to The Main Story. Today, in alignment with this episode's theme, refining your strategies, we'll chat with eBay seller Dave DiBartolomeo and about his plans for 2019. Now, Dave sells electronics accessories under the name Select Tech on eBay, and he was also a 2018 Shine Awards finalist. Welcome back to the show, Dave.
Thanks for having me again.
I chatted with Dave about his goals, and he has four big ones for 2019. Let's talk about each goal and what's your strategy to get there. Okay, Dave, what's your first big goal for 2019?
Each year, I do set new goals. This year, we have a really big one ahead of us. It's going to take a lot of planning, a lot of strategy to get it in place. But the number one goal is to move our business inventory from our home-based business and move it into a national fulfillment center.
Ooh, that's a big deal.
It's a big leap forward. With a fulfillment center, we can reduce the costs and control the costs more so than using a warehouse system, which would involve leasing terms, employees, insurance costs, utilities, any other associated costs. Using a fulfillment center, we'll also have the ability to serve the buyer better and guarantee the 2 to 3 day time delivery by using a company with East and West Coast locations. Many fulfillment centers will have locations around the country that'll meet today's shipping demands and expectations.
So that means your buyers can get their items in 3 days or less with eBay's guaranteed delivery plus this fulfillment center, right?
Correct. Fulfillment centers will have locations spread around the country. So if we have our inventory on the East Coast, West Coast, mid-states, we're able to take in an order, have it sent to the fulfillment center same day, and same day they ship it out and get it to the buyer within 2 to 3 days' time.
Now, Dave, we know that there's a big fulfillment center that everyone knows.
Who shall not be named.
Is that the one you're using?
That's not the one that we're using. There's a lot of new fulfillment center companies that are meeting the needs of sellers where you don't have to use the unnamed inventory fulfillment center.
He who shall not be named.
That's right. Yeah.
So, Dave, for sellers who are interested in fulfillment centers, what process did you go through to find one?
Well, it's really something worth looking into if you're growing your business and you're getting to the point where you need a warehouse or employees. You can do an alternative business plan and run it through a fulfillment center. You'll be able to use their space, their employees, their technology, and even their shipping supplies, and they will ship it for you. A lot of them can be found online. There's a lot of large fulfillment centers, Deliver with two R's at the end. That's one that we'll be using. There's ShipBob, Red Stag. There's a lot of large fulfillment centers with multiple locations that can fulfill all the 2 to 3 day guaranteed delivery times.
And why did you pick Deliver with two R's?
I made a point to reach out to five different multi-location centers. Uh-huh. So fulfillment centers are really great for any size business, whether you're small, whether you're large. You can send in as little as a couple of SKUs. You can send in as little as 5 to 10 unique SKU items and only pay towards what's physically in the center. So you don't have contracts up front. You don't have any minimum requirements that you would need to send in to fulfillment centers. Mm-hmm. You simply ship it to their centers and they do the rest from there. It's a great solution for a variety of needs, like maintaining a business when on vacation or expanding and not having that concern of hiring and training new employees.
Yes, it is expensive to hire and train and retain employees.
Wait, don't we know it?
And then if your business fluctuates at all and you have to hire and let them go and hire and let them go again, that's not a sustainable model for a small business. So Dave, when do you think you'll be up and running with your new fulfillment provider?
The goal is to send in our inventory this month and have everything in working order by April.
Very fantastic. Nice.
That's a big deal. Congratulations.
What is your second big goal for the coming year?
The second big goal is always to stay on top of new product model offerings. Like you had mentioned, we do electronic accessories, so there's product cycles. Whether it's Apple, Samsung, Motorola, LG, they all have new models coming out at different points of the year. It's my job to stay on top of that and be in direct contact with my manufacturer, get direct specifications for new products coming out, and have the accessories available by the time the products are released. For instance, the Samsung S10 models are coming out soon. We will have all the electronic accessories available, whether it's screen protectors, cases. We already have everything in stock. We already have everything available. We have our listings up, and we're ready when the product drops.
So this is the S10. Is that the one that folds that we saw the big story over the weekend?
It's not the fold one, but wow, that was a $2,000 model. So no, not that one.
I want it.
I'm behind the times. Apparently there's a phone that folds, like the screen folds.
Yeah, so Samsung announced a phone that is a phone that you unfold and it's like a tablet. So you can use it as a phone. And then if you want to use it as a tablet, the back screen, you unfold it and the back screen becomes a full screen. It's amazing. But it's like Dave said, it's going to cost a pretty penny. It's
right,
like $2,000.
Of course. But whoever can spend $2,000 on a phone will probably spend lots of money on accessories too. And Dave will be ready, right?
Sure. I will always be ready. Yes.
I love it.
When you're constantly having new products come to the market, you must have a business strategy to match that. What is the business strategy?
Well, we identified a few products that sell very well. And the strategy really is to update those products for each model and get them ready and listed by the time the products drop online. We're there. We're ready. When they come to eBay, we have them on there listed and we're ready to send them out.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
so you have to plan ahead.
But he's always picking his winners, right?
Yeah, of course.
He's doubling down on his winners.
Yes.
What happens when a new winner comes into the fold?
So you mean a new product that comes out that hasn't previously been released?
Yeah, like say that, sure. I'm just making this up, but you have like 4 cell phone covers that are your best sellers, and then all of a sudden this 5th one comes in to your business. That's what I'm trying to say.
So it usually takes from the time the product is announced that they have a release date, we have a direct contact with our manufacturer and we'll start discussing what we can create, what we can design and mm-hmm. have together in time for the product to drop.
It seems like it takes a lot of planning and research
yes.
beforehand. Yeah.
And you can't screw it up.
And you don't want to buy accessories for the Windows phone.
Right.
Doesn't exist anywhere.
Not happening.
No.
Okay. So your next big goal, Dave, has to do with marketing and social media. Tell us more about that.
Social media is growing so fast and there's so many new platforms that keep coming out. One of the goals this year is really to do more integration with social media outlets, such as Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest. And what you could do with them is you can really advertise your store and advertise your listings and drive that traffic directly to your store and listings. So one of the goals this year is a social media manager or an agency.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to do it correctly and have a dedicated manager to oversee everything.
Yes. So you want to outsource your social media marketing. And you mentioned you're looking at either an agency or an individual. How are you approaching that hiring of that person?
Whatever's cheapest, right, Dave?
No.
Oh, okay.
That does help. But you want somebody that really does have experience. You know, whether it's a private contractor that does social media full time or whether it's an agency that can really lift all your platforms and integrate it with your eBay store. It's something that's really a full-time job. It's not something you can do part-time. You have to be on top of promoting different listings, sending out different advertisements for different products, seeing how they're converting. Are they helping? Are they hurting? There's a lot to it. So it's to reach out to different social media marketers and talk to them, see what they can offer, and move forward if it's something that works with your business model.
There you go. Get somebody who is relentless about optimizing.
And optimistic.
And optimistic.
Yes.
That's good too. But yeah. What I mean is
optimistic about optimizing.
Right. Because the social media manager is going to put two ads on Facebook and see which one performs better and then put more money behind the winner and then rinse and repeat forever.
Correct. And you got to see that they're converting. So when you're driving the traffic to your listings, are buyers actually purchasing the product or are they just clicking the ad and it's not converting? That's actually going to hurt you. So it's best to have somebody who has the experience to look at all the data and see what's working for you and what's not working for you.
That's right.
Now, your business has a very meaningful charity aspect to it. And I want you to share that because it's a very important part of doing business for you. What are some of your goals in the charity area?
Every year, we're trying to increase the amount we can donate to our local charities. Once I discovered ebayforcharity.org, I knew we had a platform to help with our local mission with the Ronald McDonald House. We incorporated the Make-A-Wish Foundation and also St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. All three of these are world-class organizations that you can trust and know that the money goes to what it's intended to go to. You know, with eBay for Charity, we have the ability to raise tens of thousands of dollars a year that go directly to our local chapter. We see the money being put to use. There was an expansion in our local chapter this year where they were able to add more rooms for families to stay in and update the kitchens so that there's private space for families to put their own food into different lockers and use different refrigerators and stoves. And it takes a lot of the pressure and anxiety that the families are dealing with when they're traveling to different hospitals to care for their kids.
I hear you have two big projects this year you're working on when it comes to charity. Can you tell us about those?
We are really excited about the project we are doing with the Ronald McDonald House. We have a couple volunteer companies that are helping us put this together, and it will be with the Ronald McDonald House. We're going to have the Jesse's Art Carts. And with Jesse's Art Carts, we're going to be able to serve families who wait hours at the hospital without leaving their child's bedside. The art carts will be fully staffed by Ronald McDonald House volunteers who have clearance to the hospitals. We'll be able to wheel these around to different family rooms in the hospitals, and they'll be fully stocked with snacks, coffee, paperback books, arts, crafts, and it'll be great for some family time while their child is seeking treatment.
I'm guessing that when you go through something like this, there's lots of waiting around. There's lots of needing to entertain kids. So this is a great idea.
There's also a lot of stress just being in a hospital.
Of course, yeah. And then you've also got something called the Young Artist Collection. Tell us about that.
The Young Artist Collection ties directly into not only our project with Jesse's Art Carts, but also what we sell, which is electronic accessories. We're going to have the ability to take the child's art, and we're going to start with Jessie's art. She was really into doing art. We've done scholarships, and now we're taking it a step further. We're going to be able to take her art, screen it onto the cell phone case. We'll have a story card and product packaging, and we're going to sell these, and the money is going to go 100% right back to the Ronald McDonald House and our Jesse's Art Cart project. So it's going to be a sustainable funding model that will be able to keep the art carts growing. We're going to be starting in 12 hospitals here, and who knows how far we can take this. But what we're going to be able to do is select different child's art, screen it onto the cases, have a story card about the child, interests, their backstory. And not only is art therapy something that can help kids, the cases themselves will be going back to the very sources that are helping them.
And for listeners who might not be aware of who Jessie is, can you just explain who that is?
Jessie is my sister-in-law. She had child lymphoma. She fought a good fight for about 13, 14 years. And through her memory, we are able to actually help other families going through the same thing and maybe make things a little bit better for them while they're going through such a difficult time.
Thank you, Dave. That's wonderful. From everyone here at eBay, thanks for all the work you do on behalf of charity.
Yes, thank you, Dave. And you've got some pretty lofty goals for 2019. We wish you all the best. And where can listeners learn more about your business and your charity work?
Our charity work can be found on the Ronald McDonald House. It's ronaldhouse-snj.org. That's the Southern New Jersey website for the Ronald McDonald House. And we're also found on eBay, ebay.com/str/selecttech.
Excellent.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Yeah. Wishing you all the best in 2019. We'd love to check in maybe in 6 months or so and see how things are going. I want to hear about the Fulfillment Center
Me too.
I want to hear about the Young Artist Collection.
We've been speaking with Dave Bartolomeo about his goals to take his eBay business to the next level in 2019. Coming up next, we'll hear about eBay Open 2019. Can't wait. Welcome to Inside eBay. Today, we're talking with Allison Ingalls. She's the senior manager of Seller Events, so you probably know what we're here to talk about. She's going to tell us about one of the most highly anticipated annual seller events of the year. It's eBay Open 2019. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Okay, we want to know all the details. So for those who may be new to this whole thing, what is eBay Open and what can sellers expect at this event this year?
Open is the biggest and best seller event of the year. It's 3 days of seller immersion to help take your business to the next level. You get knowledge and know-how and connections with other sellers.
And what else?
And of course, you have the Shine Awards. At eBay Open, sellers will attend general sessions where they'll hear from our leaders, workshops, which are educational sessions on specific topics. And we have our biz booths that our GCX team will help staff. They'll help look up your account and give you specific advice on how to grow your business. We also have seller panels where you get tips and advice from other successful sellers. And of course, our Open Studio, our broadcast space where you can see our Facebook live show.
That's just all in the event. I'm sure there's one thing missing.
Of course.
And that would be?
Our parties.
Yay!
Where you can blow off some steam and have some fun. I mean, it is Vegas. Come on.
Now, so every Open I've been to has just been fabulous. And is there anything new or different this year for the folks who have attended in the past?
Yeah, it's a similar format from last year, but what's different is new insights, tools, program updates, and exclusive announcements. Get all the news first at eBay Open. It's like a health check for your business, something you've just got to do if you're selling on eBay. Sellers tell us that they find the event valuable. 90% of the attendees left eBay Open last year feeling empowered to apply what they had learned for their business as soon as they got home.
I got to tell you, I've been to every event, and these are fantastic. So they're not as big as the old eBay Lives, but that's their upside because it's more intimate. At the same time, there's close to like 2,000 people at the event.
Yep.
So give us the logistics, if you would, Allison. What are the dates and where is the venue this year?
July 23rd through the 25th. We're back in Vegas at Mandalay Bay. We're excited to be back there. Space worked well for us last year, so we're going to make it even better this year.
So now with the announcement of registration opening and more details, what about the Shine Awards? Is it time to get started for those?
Yes. For those of you who don't know, Shine Awards are our yearly small business awards where we recognize the best and brightest on eBay. This year, we'll have live audience that will help decide the winner via real-time voting. Sellers, we'll call for your small business story shortly. Stay tuned on that.
I'm sold. Where do I sign up? Oh, wait, I can't. Employees can't get in on the action. So.
Not yet.
So where do I go now to sign up?
At ebayopen.com. We have early bird pricing available until April 11th. Get there soon. Early bird pricing and a reduced hotel pricing expires on April 11th.
And when we say expires, it expires.
Yes, it does.
So if you're a procrastinator, it's going to cost you money if you register after the 11th of April.
Yes, it will.
So don't procrastinate.
Yes.
You know, we should have a workshop at eBay Open for, you know.
Procrastinators.
Yeah, for procrastinators. How not to procrastinate. This workshop will open in 10 minutes.
I love it.
Show up in 2 hours. Well, I want to thank you, Allison. It's great info. It's always exciting when the registration opens, and I'm sure, again, it's going to be a great event. And if you've never been to eBay Open, take it from me. You got to go. Save up your pennies. It's in the least expensive venue possible, right? Mm-hmm. So we really do save a lot of costs. And the fun and the knowledge you'll have is well worth it. Take it from us.
Thanks, Griff, for having me, and I hope to see everyone in Vegas.
We've been speaking with Allison Ingalls about eBay Open 2019. Yay! Coming up next, what's hot? Now, while Liz is out of the office, our good friend Jen Deal, customer marketing strategy at eBay, is paying a visit to talk about what's hot on eBay in March and April. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thanks, Griff. It's great to be here again. I love when Liz is out of the office.
You do?
Well, I love getting on the show and taking over and then, you know.
I had no idea.
She has no control over what I say.
I'm sure she's listening in, so keep
Sorry,
that in mind.
Liz.
Tell us a little bit about what's hot this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or this month, actually.
So it's not the weather, but at least across most of the country. But coming out of winter and into spring brings a lot of reasons for buyers to shop across multiple categories. And actually, so many categories, it might actually be a shorter list to talk about what's not really selling this month.
Oh.
Yeah, but we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about what happens at this time of year when buyers are preparing for renewals.
Renewals? What's renewals?
Well, it's refreshing their closets, homes, and cars, really. When I tried to think of, like, how do I package this, I really thought about the mindset of the buyer, and what they're doing right now is purging the old and finding new things that spark joy.
Oh, how very Kondo of you.
Oh, thank you. So a quick overview of things that people really do shop for in March and April. And this is really to prompt sellers to think about what to list in this time frame. March is actually a peak month for baby item sales.
Oh.
There's 2 months of the year where this happens, and March is one of them.
What's the other month?
September. Yeah, and baby item sales. It's a great time for any of the baby category, strollers, onesies, like bottle feeders, safety kits, breastfeeding kits, etc.
What else is renewable?
Well, people are thinking about fixing up cars with new parts and accessories, especially after the long winter months and harsher road conditions. They often shop for wheels and tires, brakes, pads, all the things that come with brakes, the rotors and discs, light bulbs, windshield wipers and fluids. And I call out some of these things because parts and accessories is such a large category, and you have things like fitments, and a lot of car enthusiasts are going to be looking for their parts and special replacement pieces that they're going to need for their project cars that they're going to start working on as soon as the weather gets better.
Makes sense.
Absolutely. And then the big one that's top of mind, especially for me, tax refunds and consumer electronics or smart home gadgets go hand in hand for buyers. This is the time when many retailers will also be having sales in these categories.
And they have the sales specifically because they know tax refunds are coming and people spend the money.
Actually, they're having sales because of March Madness.
Well, March Madness. Yeah,
exactly. Because a lot of large screen TVs, like 55 to 60 inches especially, will sell in that time frame. But for us, we actually do see the reason driving these sales behind high ticket items is because people get a tax refund.
And to be clear, these are categories with potentially big price tags. So cars and babies are not cheap.
That's right.
Especially if I get two of them.
They are worth it, though, cars and babies.
I won't argue with that. What else do you have?
Well, actually, just a quick tip on the tax season sales. The average tax refund in the U.S., if you're getting one, is about $2,800. So that's why people are thinking about what they're spending. Other categories like home and garden will see spikes for indoor and outdoor kitchen needs, furniture, and bedding. Again, kind of change of the season, refreshing what's been in the house and finding new things. And then a big one that I want to talk about that I think a lot of us kind of forget about, but are super important, are special occasions and events like prom, anniversaries, birthdays, Easter, and Mother's Day. These are all things that prompt purchases across multiple fashion and beauty categories.
And those are coming up.
Exactly. And then spring events like St. Patrick's Day, Easter, Passover, and spring break also will see some spikes in sales on items in media, travel, and party and home entertainment.
Okay, let's break down a few of these. Let's talk about, for example, the special events coming up soon that buyers are already planning and shopping for.
So special events like birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, etc., they're great reasons to buy new clothes and refresh a beautification regime, right? So proms start to happen in March among high schools across the nation. Anniversaries are particularly popular in April in the South. And except for a few days in September, almost every day is a relatively common birthday.
Why September?
Well, there's a little graph.
Oh, okay.
Somebody did.
No, hard to do graphs on radio.
Yeah, it's hard to do graphs on radio. But really, it's if you kind of think back to what was happening 9 months or so before September, it was really cold winter months, and people like to cuddle in the cold winter.
And cuddling, times. We know, leads to babies.
Sometimes it does.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so things to think about when you're looking at special occasions are outfits like gowns, dresses, cocktail dresses, semi-formals, very specific to prom season. If you're a seller in this category, hot dress styles this season are the glam ball gowns, really nice, long, elegant ball gown styles.
Really?
Those have come back. Sleek velvet, detailed gowns, intricate embroidery. I think it's just a lot of zing is coming through these days versus simple.
Mm.
So metallics, greens, and then dramatic back styles like the cutouts, the studded, and the strappy.
You've described my closet to a T.
Oh, fancy. You could resell on eBay.
I could, but I wear them, so that. What about shoes?
So shoes are important for special occasions. They're totally important because they make your outfit sometimes, but they also go with you all night and you have to look good and great. Because shoes are sort of a person's preference, what I'm going to suggest is, or what I'm going to call out out as the hot item are actually the things that sell consistently.
What are those?
And these are hot styles under $75 in the classic nude, black, and red pumps and heels and strappy shoes in that 3 to 4.5 heel height. Chunky strappy also sells well.
They're back in style?
They are.
I knew if I lived long enough, I could sell those things I had in my closet.
They are, yes. And they're very good for an all-nighter at a special occasion. Along those same lines, flats and slip-ons and teaks for those that swap out.
What's a teak?
Teak is actually a brand of a flat ballet shoe that you can carry with you.
A ballet shoe?
Yeah.
So I can go to dinner in plié.
Could. You could. And then, of course, you want to just accessorize yourself with fashion and hair accessories and undergarments.
Of course. Foundation wear is always important.
Foundation wear, yep. Shapewear, strapless bras, those are a key.
People need their Spanx.
They do. And then finally, a few call-outs for beautification and gifts for special occasions. We have seen a lot of new launches in the makeup lines, and those tend to sell out fast in stores and hit online marketplaces like ours. So you want to look for or resell the palettes, the concealers, and contour palettes. Bold lipsticks are back. Foundations and makeup brushes are very, really popular.
Mm-hmm.
Tanning sprays are also popular at this time. And then nail care kits, the OPI and Essie lines are ever popular. And then skincare and face mask and hair mask, which I assume is great nourishment before the events actually happen.
So we talked a lot about fashion. Are there any other non-fashion categories that are hot this time of year?
Yeah, absolutely. Even some of those categories I talked about where there's special occasions around birthdays and anniversaries, so you're looking for giftable items.
Sure.
You're also looking for things around spring break, which prompts for travel and things along those lines. So luggage, travel kits, or...
Barf bags.
If you need one. Nice. Sometimes the airlines don't always have them in the back of the seats.
That's right.
Or they are not replacing them.
Which if you're going on spring break, you should carry one around with you all the time.
This is true. This is probably a best practice that we should all know. In the media category in particular, a few things are coming up here. New releases in hardback and paperback fiction and nonfiction, like Michelle Obama's Becoming.
Yeah, bestseller, yeah.
Yeah, that's a bestseller. And then also topping the list, James Patterson, by the way.
Well, I hear he and John Grisham are still top of the charts.
That's right. James Patterson actually co-wrote The President Is Missing last summer with Bill Clinton.
Oh, I heard about that. I wonder if it's any good.
I think it is. In those categories, think about travel, accessories, you know, maybe a clever one for St. Patrick's Day is the kegerator.
What is a kegerator?
Usually it's popular.
Oh, the refrigerator, right.
It's a keg, basically, right, that sits in next to your barbecue. And by the way, barbecues and grilling accessories will start to become more popular in sales as we get into April.
And we should remind our audience, the reason why we do this is to spark some ideas about what you should be looking to source right away. Whether you're out at a thrift store or you've got a deal with a supplier. This is just some tips on what is going to be popular based on the marketplace data that we have year over year and what you should be sourcing to sell on eBay for success.
That's right.
Jen, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome.
We've been talking with Jennifer Deal. She's joined us this episode for our What's Hot segment. Coming up, we have some questions from sellers. Don't go away. And we're back, and this week we have some questions which have been submitted via the community at community.ebay.com. You can have your questions answered on Selling on eBay to the best of our ability. Just call us at 888-723-4630, or you can email us at sellingonebay@ebay.com, or you can go to ebay.com/sellingonebay and use our feedback question form. So you got three options there, right, Doug?
That's awesome, yes.
Joining us today is Doug Smith. Doug is going to read some of the questions that came in through the community, and then I'll do my best to provide some answers based on my 23 years of experience of answering questions for eBay sellers.
Off the top of his head, ladies and gentlemen.
Flying without a net.
All right, here we go.
Or without Frankie.
Without a net. Our first question, Griff, is from Belly Gotti.
Okay.
I'm a new seller on eBay. What does it mean when people are watching my items? Should that tell me some information pricing-wise? What does it tell me?
Welcome to eBay, Belly Gotti. It sounds like you may not have really bought much on eBay. And that's always a good thing for a new seller to do. Mm-hmm. You can always find stuff you need, right, Doug?
Yes, definitely.
Right, even if it's something small.
Everything.
Right. So buying something on the eBay marketplace and understanding the marketplace from the buyer perspective will help you as a seller, including this feature. Watchers are buyers or other eBay members who have found your listing, and on the listing page, there is a button where the potential buyer can say, I want to watch this item. And that means it goes on a list, which is compiled in my eBay, and they can visit that list and see all the items they're watching. I use this feature all the time as a buyer.
Yeah. I love it.
Because I'll find something and I think, you know, that item's pretty cool. I don't have the money this week, or I'm waiting for the price to go down, or I'm doing a little research. I'm going to watch it, and then I'll come back in perhaps and buy it later. So a watcher is somebody who's shown enough interest to actually click on your item in a list of search results, and then in the item page, actually say, I want to keep this one aside so I can either buy it later or watch what happens. So they're watching the item.
And I love that feature, and there are no surprises on my watch list, but I love that it's on my eBay homepage. It's always there. It reminds me of what I've looked at.
Yeah. So we've had the watch feature for years at eBay, almost 20 years now. And it isn't until recently that we made some significant changes to it, or not changes, but actually sort of enhancements. And if you go to your selling page, Bellagotti, in my eBay, there is a page for your active listings. And on the active listings, there's a column that says number of watchers.
Mm-hmm.
If an item has a lot of watchers, that's indicative of some interest.
Definitely.
And in the past, sellers would say, yeah, but I want to market to those watchers. And just recently, we have a feature now that allows sellers to send best offers to all their watchers on an item. So it's another way to help boost sales.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's what a watcher is. The more people watching an item, that shows there's a lot of interest in that item, and it's probably going to sell.
All right. Our next question is from Bought Before.
Mm-hmm.
Would eBay consider more product options for our free shipping coupon? I'm up to my ears with tissue paper bags, box tape, etc. Would like to see actual shipping supplies like tape, similar to scotch,
yeah,
labels that we can use to print shipping info on. Thanks.
Hey, Bought Before, I'm with you on this one. I would love to see more options in the selling shipping supplies. For those of you who aren't sure what this means, if you have an eBay store, then you have, as part of your subscription, or every quarter, every quarter, a coupon that you can use to purchase as a credit from the eBay store that is licensed to sell branded shipping supplies. They have the eBay brand on them. There is a limited number of items in that store. So I'll take that to the shipping team and see what they say. I can't make any promises, but it's a great suggestion.
Good feedback. All right, 3 Milli 4. On the new USPS package rates for 2019, with eBay shipping labels, are we sellers still able to ship packages that weigh up to a pound by first class, a heavier allowance than the retail limit of 13 ounces?
Yes, it's called a commercial first class rate, and we do, with arrangement through USPS, make them available to our sellers. So yes, you'll still be able to select first class domestic package for a domestic shipping option for any item up to 16 ounces or 1 pound. That made a big difference for me selling shirts.
Sure. Because
There's that little gray area between 13 and 16, those three little ounces, lots of shirts I had to ship priority. Now I can keep the price down by shipping first class. So yeah, That's still available.
All right.
We're doing pretty good so far.
We are, yes.
You haven't stumped me yet, but that could happen.
Maybe this one.
Let's hope.
Generally, I do not offer returns because of cost. There are some items that I would consider offering a return on, but would not want to give 30 days. If we stated that we do not offer returns, but put in the description that we would honor a 14-day return under our conditions, etc., would eBay honor that?
So I would have a question for you. I don't know what it is you sell, and I don't know how long you've been selling on eBay, but you say you don't offer returns, and you say it's because of the cost. My question would be back to you. Would you shop with anyone who would not take a return from you? What if you get the item and you're just not happy with it? Are you okay with that as a buyer? I'm going to assume not, unless you're a masochist. But I think the thing to ask yourself is, why would I do that to my buyers? So even an item that is perfectly described and perfectly photographed and is in a reasonable price, sometimes a buyer might get it and they just might not be happy with it. Now, I can't speak for you, but I can say as a seller, I really couldn't sleep at night knowing that I was making my buyers unhappy and not taking the returns. So whenever I sell anything, this is just me, and sometimes I sell very heavy items like big room-size oriental rugs, I always say you can return it within 60 days. If you're not happy with it, I pay for return shipping. My return rate is no different than anyone else in my categories.
Mm-hmm.
So I run in clothing around 3 to 5%. And for the other items, I really haven't taken a rug back in years. So my word of advice would be rethink this idea of not offering returns. I can guarantee you it's hurting your business. you will sell more. And the other thing is, a business owner, you need to track your costs. So yeah. When you start taking returns, you need to track how much they cost. And what I do, because there is a cost to taking returns, you will get some items back and it may end up coming out of your pocket. Like, for example, I always pay for return shipping. I just want my buyers to be happy. I don't want them to feel like when they shop with me, there's a risk that if they don't like it, it's going to cost them money. Nowhere else on the internet has that happened. Why should it happen in my store? But what I do is I'll track the cost of returns. And then using that information for, say, the last year, I'll take that number and then anticipate with the same number of sales, I'll have the same return rate. And I come up with a figure that I can, an incremental tiny amount that I can add to the price of all my items, which quote unquote self-insures me and helps recoup the costs of taking returns to make buyers happy. That's the priority. You have to think, am I in business just to make money?
Sure.
So who isn't? That's an obvious one. Very few people start a business to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
But am I in business to make people happy or unhappy? That's the question. And if you're refusing to take returns, that's a setup for making some buyers unhappy. And no buyer deserves to be unhappy. You talked about offering, saying you don't take returns and then, and you know, as the option you choose, and then say, we would honor a 14-day return policy under conditions, blah, blah, blah. Why would you do that? Why do you want to make your buyers jump through hoops? You either take a return or you don't. So I would not advise that. It's confusing. And it's also not going to help you in search, because if you check the option for does not take returns, there are tons of buyers who, when they shop on eBay, they filter those out, because there's a filter option on the side of search results that says, show me only the items that take returns.
Mm-hmm.
If you stated you don't take returns, your buyer isn't even seeing your items. So you're not even in consideration.
Well, Griff, I've worked with you for more than 2 years now, and you're very consistent. And, you know, back to the eBay radio days, I've heard you say a couple of things over and over. Put yourself in your customers' and your buyer's shoes.
Exactly.
And whatever level you're selling at, you need to think of yourself as a business.
Right. You have to. And you have to gauge your costs and expenses. You have to monitor them and track them as a business so you can manage it properly. Just assuming that it's going to cost you money that you can't recoup is a really bad-headed business move, I think.
And you sell clothing and rugs.
And fragrance and some collectibles. So I'm reaching retirement age and I'm thinking about Marie Kondo-ing my own life.
There you go.
Back on eBay it all goes.
So toupees are fairly small and cheap to ship. Is that correct?
Yes, but I don't own toupees.
Oh, not that kind of rug.
Yeah, we're talking about floor rugs.
A room-sized toupee, I thought you were referencing.
Oh, Doug.
But when you do give it away, say goodbye. Thank it for its service.
And
if it doesn't give you joy.
Doesn't spark joy.
Give it away.
I'll tell you what does spark joy. Getting these questions from sellers. Right. Thank you so much for sending these in.
We're very excited. You know, you have multiple options now.
And yes.
We're very excited about the feedback form and we love your questions. This same seller has another follow-up. When you were talking about relisting versus similar, you did not answer whether or not eBay pushes your listing down if you use relist item.
I don't know where this is coming from. We don't push items down.
We want you to sell.
Yeah. So if you have an item and you relist it, and it is a multiple quantity item that has a history, some of that history pulls over, right? So you can do it that way. But you should use these for what they say. They're called sell similar, one option, and relist.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an item that you're relisting, use relist. Don't think about this search thing. You're picking up urban myths about eBay's algorithm.
Exactly.
So just use relist if you're relisting the item and you're just going to make a few changes, or if any. And if you're selling a new item to eBay, use sell similar to make it easier for data entry, right? So I use sell similar when I'm going to list another shirt. But I do that for the ease of listing. I don't do it because I think I'm going to get some bump or push down in search. That's just not true. Stop believing and listening to all of the urban myths out there about eBay's search algorithm, how it works, and just use the tools as they're intended. And if your listings are optimized, a word we use lots, and you've got a good deal and good photos and great customer service and taking returns,
there you go,
then you'll make these sales.
Let me ask you this, since I have you. That's our last question, but let me ask you this, Griff.
Sure.
So urban myths, eBay urban myths. I have a favorite that I'll share, but I would love to know your favorite eBay urban myth / conspiracy.
Oh, I had one for years. I don't hear it that much, though.
Which is, what's your favorite? And then I'll tell you mine.
Rolling blackouts.
Yeah, I have heard that one.
This was a big one for years. And I always, when someone would bring it up, I'd say, you really think that's what we do? So let me get this straight. we're a business, a publicly owned company with investors, and you're saying that our business model is built on hiding your listings? How does that benefit us? How does that benefit anyone?
I have seen that one. I have seen that one.
Now, just so I reiterate it, it's totally, it's not true.
It is not true. We do want you to sell.
Yeah.
So my favorite, and this was told to me by a longtime eBay employee, he said that there used to be going around a rumor that eBay has satellites that circle the earth and track sellers' data. Is that true, Griff? Do they launch here from San Jose?
Yeah, there's a pad on the roof of Building 6.
Is that where that is?
Right. So occasionally hear that rumbling noise and smell a lot of jet fuel.
Oh, that's
We've just launched another satellite.
I thought you were scooting around the parking lot.
I have to admit, that is one crazy urban myth. Are we spreading it by mentioning it?
Maybe
on the air?
So, yeah. It's like they wouldn't talk about it if it wasn't true. Main Street, the big labeled roof with the big eBay logo, that opens up, and that's where we launch the satellites.
That's right. We do it when no one's looking. The neighborhood's all asleep.
I just got this picture of you like Slim Pickens riding on the front of a rocket with your cowboy
Yeehaw!
Hat. If you guys get that reference, we'll be impressed.
Yeah, we will. Well, this has been fun.
Thanks, Griff.
That's all the questions we have this week, Doug, but keep them coming in. Remember, if you have questions and you want them answered on our podcast, you can call us at 888-723-463, or you can email us at sellingonebay@ebay.com, or you can go to ebay.com/sellingonebay, and you can use the feedback question form you can find on that page.
All right.
That's it.
Thanks, Griff.
Coming up, the end of the show. And that's our show for this week.
We hope we got you thinking about how you might refine your strategies. But if we didn't, don't despair. We will continue with our theme, refining your strategies, on next week's episode.
Excellent. Now, who's on deck for our next episode, Audrey?
Well, we'll visit with eBay seller Maria from The Stylister and eBay's chief marketing officer, Susie Deering. They'll share their point of views on how eBay sellers should utilize a refined marketing strategy to help grow their business on eBay. You won't want to miss it, especially if you like learning how to be more profitable.
There's that word again.
Which word? Profitable?
Yes, that's the word. It's music to my ears.
I like it too. Plus, it's what ties us all, eBay and eBay sellers, together. If you ain't profitable, we ain't profitable.
Or something to that effect.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Speaking of effects, when you don't call the show, it has a profound depressive effect on poor Griff.
Mm-hmm.
So cheer him up. Yeah. Call us on our hotline at 888-723-4630.
That's right. Call us at 888-723-4630. You can call at any time of day, any day of the week. You can leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air.
And if the very thought of hearing your own voice on air sends a shiver of panic down your spine, don't worry. We got you covered. With our very own email address, you can send your questions if you prefer. It's sellingonebay@ebay.com. That's sellingonebay@ebay.com.
So I have a question for you, eBay seller. Does your spouse look at you with a mix of concern and pity because you have no life outside of the one you live in your garage or basement or wherever it is you spend your waking hours running your eBay business? Well, then put his or her mind at ease and go join a local eBay seller meetup in your area right now. At seller meetups, sellers share tips, stories, insights, and even a little commiseration and a lot of nosh. You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page. That happens every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time. Go to facebook.com/eBay for Business.
Hey, babe.
Hey, babe. What's going on?
It's closing time, babe. Time to roll the credits.
Okay, absolutely. I love it. Director of Community, Brian Burke.
Community Manager, Alan Aisbit.
Community Manager and Technology and News Editor, Doug Smith.
Marketing Strategist, Liz Austin.
Editor-in-Chief and Co-host, Griff, that's you.
Mm-hmm. Scriptwriter and Co-host and Top Girl, Audrey Tracy.
That's me.
Selling on eBay is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.
That's a wrap.
Really? I thought it was more like a mink stole, but
oh,
I like it, don't you?
Yeah, it looks great.
It looks great on me. Yeah.
It looks good with your curlers in your hair and your lipstick and your cigarette. It's a good look.
Cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Go visit the girls. Have a little fun.
Have a little fun.
Is there white wine?
Yeah, there could be. Talk a little gossip.
Screech as loud as we can.
Mm-hmm. Howl with laughter.
Ah!
Oh, my God!
I love it.
I love it.
It's great. Okay.